Signed Words Tech Ministry Queensland. It's now Wednesday evening, the 17th of May, 1989, and we're at the Grinder Christian Assembly for the continuation in the special series of meetings taken by guest speaker Mr. Peter Brandon from the UK. Tonight's subject is inner cleansing.
Friends, it's lovely to be with you tonight with the Word of God. Thank you for coming, and we trust that the Lord will richly bless you. There will be just one more meeting in the week, and that's on Friday. And then, of course, the last meeting on Sunday. Now, we've had a tremendous series. We've been back four times to Australia, and I think it's true to say we have never seen so many non-Christians coming to the meetings in all our four visits. But let not this be the anticlimax. I think this is the poorest number we have seen during the whole series. So let's make that Friday a lovely Friday so that we might see this place really packed to capacity. But the friends who have come tonight, we are delighted to see you, and we mean that, and trust that the Lord will richly bless you. Regarding the second visit, a number of people have asked me to come back, but I do want to say this. We are reaching an age when we must change gear. I cannot keep up this pressure all my life. And the Lord has laid a scripture on our hearts, and I do want to share it with you tonight, that where I am, there shall my servant be. And we're not going to come out again just by a formal invitation. We want to work in those areas where the Spirit of God is moving. And therefore we shall change quite considerably in the next visit. And where we feel that the Spirit of God is moving, and where God's people are willing, we want to be there. Not just for 2 weeks, maybe for a longer period. Now, as you know, in this beloved land of yours, there are a few places really hungry for God. They're prepared to get low before the Lord. Now that's where we believe the Lord wants us. So let us pray that God may guide us and lead us so that we might see in future days not just a week's excitable meetings and then all over, but that we might see a permanent work done for the glory of God. On Friday, I want to take up a subject that's quite new to me. I feel the Lord laying it on my heart because many people have suggested one or two things to me, and it's testing the force and the true. Many people have asked me, even people who have been on the road 40 years, how can you really prove that you're a genuine Christian? Now I want to speak on the subject, testing the force and the truth. And may I please make this appeal, if we can be here and encourage others, if you know of other Christians that should be here and are not there, just give them a little tinkle and a loving little exhortation to be here so that we can see this hall filled on Friday evening. Now our reading tonight is from Luke chapter 5, and we shall read from verse 1. Luke 5, reading from verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came, and filled both the ship, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went their fame abroad of him. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Now the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Behind every miracle, there is a profound spiritual lesson. It was that brilliant theologian Trench that said, the parables were miracles in words, but the miracles were parables in deeds. And therefore, if you read the miracles carefully, you will see behind most of them, there is a good evangelical lesson. With the disease of palsy, we would call it a form of paralyzation, it shows to us the helplessness of a man without God. With the disease of leprosy, it shows to us graphically the uncleanness of sin. Now what I want to do tonight is to take up this great story of the healing or the cleansing of the leper. And my points will be simple. First of all, I want to introduce you to the leper. Secondly, I want to introduce you to his Lord. And then lastly, I want you to look at his new life. First of all, the leper. Now, leprosy is the most historic disease in the medical journal. Also, it's the most historical disease that we have in the Bible. The first disease ever to be mentioned in the Bible is leprosy. And that takes my mind back to the origin of sin. For leprosy is a graphic picture of sin in the human heart. And sin found its birth in heaven, with a being called Lucifer. And the word Lucifer basically means burning, shining one. The greatest being that God ever created was Lucifer, who is now Satan. He was wiser than Daniel. He was more beautiful than any of the other seraphim or angels that God created. And he appears to be over the whole of the angelic population. And there came a moment in his experience when he sought to be as God. Such was his brilliance, and he was cast out of heaven. Sin finds its birth in the human family with a woman, Eve. And that is why she should not really be heard in the church. Mainly because she was responsible for bringing sin into the world. And so we can see that sin is the most historical moral disease that we have in the universe. But here is something that I find very interesting. Leprosy is a universal disease. In my research today, I found this, that there are leper camps in Europe. In fact, in my own country, there is a leper camp. It goes right the way back to the 10th century, and you can still see it, proving that there were lepers in Britain in the 10th century. So you can see that leprosy was not just confined to tropical countries. It was a universal disease. In fact, according to some medical historians, Europe had a plague of leprosy round about the 10th century. Isn't that like sin? Universal? No matter where you go in the world, I remember during my naval experiences when on one cruise we did 20,000 miles. And in every part, in every port where we went to show the flag, you could see the evidence of sin. Sometimes we were moving in areas that were primitive. Sometimes we were moving in areas that were marked with culture and refinement. But no matter where we went, we saw the evidence of sin. And how true is the old book when it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Leprosy is a subtle disease. According to the scripture, when it's first seen, it is seen as a lovely little white spot, a little deeper than the colour of an Easterner skin. And if it moves across the hand, it's just a white spot before it breaks out into ulceration. And therefore, sometimes when a person had leprosy, it looked attractive. But it was a killing disease. Isn't that like sin? Paul speaks of the deceptiveness of sin in Romans chapter 7. Now, what does he mean? When we first look at sin, there is a sense of attraction. Take, for instance, an act of lust. It looks attractive, but when it's committed, it's a killer. Take, for instance, a drug. When people talk about a trip, it looks attractive. But when a person is hooked on heroin, how deadly. Take, for instance, stealing. A person can take a small thing as a child, and then it grows until he can become a kleptomaniac, so that he can't stop stealing. You see, the thing that looks attractive becomes a killer. My dear friends, Satan is a master at camouflaging sin. The suggestion seems lovely, but the act is cruel and crippling. I wish you could see some of our cardboard boys there in London. Only 25 years of age. Many of them have been to university. Many of them have degrees, and there in their hundreds you'll see them living in cardboard boxes in some of the slums of London. You see, initially they thought sin was attractive. At the age of 25, they're dying fast. Now, could I say this to any young person here tonight? Sin
is a killer. It has our nations at the throat. And it's destroying us. But I've never seen one life that Jesus Christ has spoiled. I've never seen a young man coming back to me saying, Jesus has spoiled my life. Hundreds have been back and said, I'm beaten. Or if I may use my Cockney parlance, I'm bashed and bullied by sin. Like leprosy, sin is subtle. But then, it's an insensitive disease. If you have the neural form of leprosy, that means the leprosy that attacks the nerve supplies, it's possible to lose a finger and not actually feel it. In fact, one of the great problems with leprosy, when they have it in their feet, and I know this is crude, but I must spell it out, sometimes in the night, rodents will come and destroy their toes, and they do not know they're being destroyed. And therefore, if I can put it to you like this, a man that has a leprous hand could actually see a red hot pin going right the way through his hand, and he wouldn't feel it. The alarm system of the body, the pain system, has gone. And my dear friend, sin is like that. The first time a young person tells a deliberate lie, he feels it. If he goes on lying, the sensitivity of his own conscience ceases to function. The first time an act of lust is committed, a person feels like a worm, but he can go on lusting until his conscience breaks down. The first time someone swears, I've seen it, he feels it. But if he goes on swearing, he becomes a person that has a blaspheming tongue. He has no conscience. And sin deadens the conscience, and that's why it's so deadly. And the moment your conscience is deadened, you can do anything, kill a man, and not bat an eyelid, but there's more. When a person goes on hearing the gospel over and over again, and he doesn't respond to it, sin and rejection has the process of hardening the heart. And you know what the Bible says? Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. And I have seen people in my own country that will never be saved. Sin has hardened them. And across their bodies are the words, weighed in the balances and found wanting. They're beyond redemption. They have a hardened heart. Now, my dear friends, I do not want to say this cruelly. I want to say this with deep love. Never allow your conscience to break down. Never allow the sensitive mechanism of your spirit to be broken by the perpetuation of sin. Pray tonight, if it's gone, Lord, give it back to me. Because sin deadens the conscience. And then I want you to think of the vulgarity of this disease. Luke gives us a medical term here. The word full of leprosy simply means that the person had the neural form and the cutaneous form, and the body was beginning to collapse. Can I explain it? When a person had the cutaneous form of leprosy, it affected the blood supply, and therefore the body broke out in terrible deep ulcers. And if a man full of leprosy, meaning if he had the cutaneous form and he stood on that platform, every single one of us would be literally sick to see it. Furthermore, with the nervous form,
It affected, of course, the nervous supply. The extremities would drop off. And there would be what the medical people say, the lion-like appearance. The cheeks disappear. The nose flattens. The eyebrows disappear. The hair falls off. And there is the lion-like appearance. Furthermore, bronchopneumonia breaks out. And the person's body disintegrates. And therefore, if you could see this man, he would be in a pathetic mess. And that's the picture that God sees of sin. Can I put it to you like this? If you could see the smallest lie as God sees it, you would have such a shock, you would never tell another lie. Can I put it to you like this? To my naked vision, that water seems clear and pure. Under a powerful microscope, it would be filled with impurities. Now, what is right, my naked vision or my microscopic vision? Well, you know the answer. When we look at ourselves, we are not so bad. But when God looks at us, we are full of leprous uncleanness. Can I give you a case in point? The greatest poet in the Bible was a man by the name of Isaiah. He was a man that had a beautiful moral life. He was untouchable as far as the ordinary Israelite was concerned. One day he stood upon a pulpit of wood and with an accusing finger said to Israel 5 or 6 times, "Woe unto you, Israel," and rightly so, because they were a wicked people. It was in the year that King Uzziah died, a close friend of his. He saw the Lord. He saw the glory of the Lord. He heard the seraphim saying one to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And when the king spoke, the whole of heaven was shaken. And the garments of the king just filled the temple. When Isaiah saw the glory and compared himself with that glory, he fell into the dust. And this is what he said. "Woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips." Do you know what that means? I'm full of inward leprosy. For mine eyes have seen the Lord. Friends, do grasp this. One day you're going to stand in the presence of God. And you'll see yourself as God sees you. But there will be no mercy there. But tonight there's mercy. Let God show to you the filthiness of sin. The scripture says we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And then leprosy was a separating disease. Immediately a man had leprosy. It was like someone having smallpox today. He was isolated. And immediately it was diagnosed. He would be taken from his home and he would be put in a leper camp. And when that man was allowed out to beg, he would put his finger over his lip and he would cry, "Unclean! Unclean!" And the people would scatter. You see, they separated a leper from society because in those days it was contagious. Sin separates us from God. And this is what the word says. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. And I'm going to say something that you will feel unkind. Amen. Hallelujah.
Wouldn't it be a terrible thing if the Almighty God said something like this, I'm going down to those muddy pools of iniquity that the human family lives in, and I'm going to enjoy it with them. Friends, he wouldn't be God. I do not want God coming down to me and enjoying my iniquity. I want God to bring me up to where he is. And so God separates. And don't we do that? Every good gardener separates weeds from cultivation. Every good surgeon separates harmful bacteria from good bacteria. Every good housewife will separate tidiness from untidiness. Every good artist will separate that which is vulgar from that which is marked by beauty. And God separates sin from himself. And can I give you now a warning? If ever you die in your sin, it will be a tragedy. It will mean that you will have a leprous soul for eternity. That's why hell is called outer darkness. You have lived in it. You'll spend eternity in it. And that's why God warns us. Now, lastly, it was a mysterious disease. Now, why? When a person in the Old Testament was full of leprosy, apart from the fact that the leprous sores were not ulcerating, he was pronounced clean. What a contradiction. And when a man was totally full of leprosy, and that meant he was in a dying state, apart from open ulceration, he was pronounced clean. Now why? Dear friends, when you begin to see that you're full of sin and uncleanness, and can I use my cockney again, when you see that you're inwardly rotten, you're right next door to salvation. When those drug boys came to see me, the punks, they walked into that room, some of them 6'5" in height, massive fellas. And they sat down. They didn't tell me that they were sinners. They didn't know that language. They just used that language I've used. Mister, we are rotten. And inwardly I said, praise God. For that's the person God can cleanse. Forgive me raising my voice. But if you're filled with your own goodness and your own religion and you feel you're among the respectable, there's no salvation for you. For the Lord Jesus came not for the righteous, but to call sinners to repentance. Now let's turn from this man to his Lord. I want you to note his approach, and quite frankly, it's tremendous. Mark tells us he came kneeling. Now that is really moving. This man could hardly bend his knees. And you can see him hobbling along. Can you see him? Eyebrows gone. Lion-like appearance. The cheeks gone. His mouth totally blistering, all his extremities gone, his walking on club feet, his knees are bending, and when he sees the Lord Jesus, with great effort, he bends his knees. Do you know what that means? He was submitting to the will of God. He was saying this, Lord, I'm a poor cripple. I'm a broken man.
But with my brokenness, I want to submit to your lordship. And that's vital when you become a Christian. It's not just being scared about sin and death and hell. It's submitting to the lordship of Christ. Then Matthew tells us something that is almost really unbelievable. He tells us that he came worshipping. And you know what that meant? He took one look at the Lord Jesus and he said, He is the Son of God. He was almost blind. And he worshipped. Luke tells us that when he got near the Lord Jesus, he fell on his face. Do you know what that means? He got one glimpse of impeccable perfection. One glimpse of the glory of absolute purity. And he fell on his face. He said, I can't look at him. I'm too evil. That's the way to come to the Lord. Just as I am. Without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Then I want you to note his appeal. First of all, he besought the Lord. And I can see this poor fella. I don't know if his glands... I don't believe they were, but if his glands were working, you could see sweat pouring from him. And as he was bending and then falling before the Lord, he was pleading for mercy. You know, one of the things that grieves me today is that when people come to the Lord, they come so casually. They get up in a meeting like this, come to the front, and they think that's being saved. That won't save a hair of your head, let alone the soul. Then some people just raise their hand, and they think that will save them. You can keep your hand up all day long for about a millennium of years, and that won't save you. Then some people come and they say a mechanical prayer. Lord, I'm a sinner, please save me and forgive me. I'm dead scared of hell. That's not prayer. When you realize you're unclean and you're lost, and you come to Christ, you cry to Him. You say, Lord, I'm in an appalling condition. If I died tonight, I would be lost. Please save me. It's beseeching the urgency. And then I want you to note his dependency. He came and obviously he was saying something like this. I've been to all the physicians. I've been to all the rabbis. They just tell me I'm getting worse. I've only got a few months to live. And I'm throwing myself on you, Jesus. That's what he wants. Someone who will come and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you to do what no one else can do. To forgive my sins and save my soul. Complete, absolute dependence on Christ. And immediately he came like that. Then he utters this tremendous cry. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Notice, he did not judge the Lord's ability. He knew he could cleanse him. But he judged his will. Friends, can I put some questions to you? Would you listen to this? Is it the will of God for people to live like animals in sin? Is it?
Is it the will of God for people to be so vandalistic like in my country? They can't look at a game of football without being caged in. Is that right? Is that the will of God? Is it the will of God for people to have sex outside of marriage? Is that God's will?
Of course not.
Is it God's will for old people to be mugged on the roads at night? Is it? Is it the will of God for hundreds and thousands and millions of Western people to be on the broad road that leads to destruction? Is that God's will? You see, this man did not judge the Lord's ability. He knew he could cleanse him, but he didn't understand his will. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Do you know what he was saying? Look, I've been to the priest, and he's done nothing for me. But I've taken one look at you, Lord Jesus, and I can see that you're the Son of God, and you have the ability to help me. But I don't know your will. And when the Lord Jesus saw him, Mark tells us something that moves me now to tears. Jesus was moved with compassion. The Pharisees were moved with anger. Because that man should never have been near the Lord Jesus. You see, the law drives the leper away. Grace drives the leprosy away. And here the Lord is moved with compassion. The word is deep. Do you know what it means? Have you ever seen someone that's so sick that you deeply love? And as you see them there, you can't say a word. But inwardly, that's how Jesus looked at that man. Now note, he hated the leprosy that was killing him, but loved the leper. Could I talk to your spirits now? He hates your sin. He hates it. It will bring you to hell. He loves you. Loves you. Loves you deeply. Just like that leper. And then the Lord Jesus did something that really causes me to cringe. He touched him. No one had touched this man for 20 years. The complication of this particular disease would have been moving through his body for 15 to 20 years. And immediately he was pronounced as a leper. No clean person would ever get near him. He would see the priest or he would see a rabbi and he would stand 10 yards away. And then he would move backwards quickly. And all the rabbi, all the priests would say, go away, go away. And they would mutter, worsening, worsening. And no one had touched him. The only people that touched him were his fellow lepers. And when Jesus saw him, he touched him. But the word touch is a little wrong. If you read Mr. Darby's new translation, you will read the footnote, and the Greek word means he handled him freely. And do you know what that meant? The Lord took his healing hand and ran all over that leprosy, touched him, became identified with him, touched him. Do you know where he touched us? He loved us so much that he went to the cross. And on that rugged cross, he bore our sins, bore the judgment of our sins. Because he loved us. Now friends, this is rugged, but grip it. No one will ever have the capacity to love you like the Lord Jesus. The one who created you is the one that died for you. And on the cross, that's where he touched us. He who knew no sin, listen to this, was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. He bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we might be dead to sin and live unto righteousness. John the Baptist says, now grip this lovely scripture. Behold the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world. That's where he touched us. And in this building tonight, there is the Lord Jesus. And he's coming to some troubled life. And he wants to touch you. And when he does, you'll sing that song. He touched me. And oh, the joy that filled my soul. Something happened. What happened? When the Lord touches you, he forgives your sin and the Lord comes into your life. And then the Lord spoke to him, and with this I close. He said, I will. Now notice what he says. Can you see him? Prostrated before the Master, Jesus raising him up and touching him. And as he touches him, he says, I will. He says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The Lord says, I tell you, I will. I will be thou clean. Dear friends, it's as simple as this. It's not the will of God for one of you to continue in sin. Not the will of God that one of you should remain under judgment. It's not the will of God that one of you should go to hell. He wills not the death of any, but that all should come to repentance. Friends, he's saying to you tonight, I will. Then he made this tremendous statement. I will be thou clean. Now I don't want to worry you with Greek verbs, but it's an aorist. And it means this, I will be thou immediately and completely clean. Oh, this thrills me. The disease had been coming on for about 15 to 20 years. Every year he was worsening. And now he was in the throes of death. And Jesus says, I will. Be thou clean. And the Lord cleansed him in a fraction of a second. And that's how you can tell a miracle. All the miracles were immediate, were permanent, and were complete. And when the Lord cleanses you from sin, it's once and for all. And you couldn't be clean. Because he cleanses you through the blood of Christ. And then he'll do something for you that he didn't do. Into that body of yours he'll put the Holy Spirit. And you'll become a new creature. And you will not just be clean, you'll be new. Completely new. I will be thou clean. And immediately the scripture says, he was made clean, and the Lord just said to him, right, go and show yourself to the priest. Don't talk about it. Go and show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing, according to that which Moses commanded, as a testimony to them. Now friends, according to Edersheim, every 6 months this man would go to the priest. And the priest would look at him, and he would turn his back upon him without saying a word,
And he would say to a fellow priest, Wasnin, he's got about a year to live. Now he's going into the presence of the priest. A new man. Now the scripture doesn't say this, but if I've got the force of the word, I believe that the Lord not only cleansed him, but totally healed him. And when he went right into the presence of the priest, he must have said, do you know me? Would have a guess. Couldn't guess. Couldn't. Who are you? Marcus Bartholomew. Never. Never. You must be joking. Marcus Bartholomew. Are you the man that's been coming to us for about 20 years? Yes. I heard what you said. I had a year to live. Look at me! And I want, according to Moses, to offer a cleansing. And the priest knew immediately that the person who healed him was the divine Son of God. It was showing the new life. A girl got saved, and this moves me as I speak to you now. And I'm not going to say too much about this girl, because she's a mother now, but she was with a group of boys, about 18 or 19, that went very deeply into sin. Now that's all I can say. And one night in this tent, in a place called Road, we were preaching and the whole of hell was let loose. I could hardly speak. My wife and I were in serious jeopardy, for some of the knives were out. And I stopped the meeting and I came down from the little platform and I said this, I'm going to challenge you now. Is there someone here that will stand up and say, I want Christ and lean in? And this girl stood up and said, I want Christ now. And the booing that went up was unbelievable. So I went right up, took her by the hand. Mind you, inwardly I was nervous, and brought her into the caravan. And before we could do a thing, she wept for about 10 minutes. All she would say is this, I'm rotten, I'm rotten. And then we had the joy of telling her, the blood of Christ will cleanse her from all sin, and the Holy Spirit will come in if she's prepared to meet Jesus, her Saviour and Lord. She got down on the old caravan floor, and she pleaded with the Lord to save her. And there were 60 fellas waiting for her outside. So I said, right, I'll come home with you. No, you won't, she said. I'm going among them. And I'm going to tell them. I said, what about your life? I'm not afraid of that. The Lord's with me. And she went right in the midst, after being barged about. And she said, look, I'm finished with you. Jesus Christ is my Saviour and Lord. They tried to knock her down, but couldn't. She came to a point where she accepted Christ. She's a mother with 4 lovely children. A new creature in Christ Jesus. What about you? And you? Who's going to come like the leper to the Lord tonight and receive it? as your Saviour and Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we just pray now that Thou wilt work this miracle. We realize now it's all over to the work of the Spirit. We cannot convict, we cannot reveal sin. Lord, take over now. Show to us all the uncleanness of every form of sin. Show to us the exquisite beauty and loveliness of the Lord Jesus. Help us to see that He loves us not with words, but He loved us unto death, and bore our sins in His own body on the tree. Help us to realize He's here in the power of the Spirit tonight, and He wants to touch someone. Bring someone to the Saviour just as the leper came. Broken, inwardly bleeding. Asking the Lord for that cleansing and forgiveness. And send someone home tonight, Lord. Please do this. Cleanse from sin. Indwelt with the Spirit. A new person. So that they might show their new life. To their friends, and others too, might be born of God. Lord, grant this, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing in closing 292. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. Just listen to this little refrain here. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. May someone really sing this as a prayer.